When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
I think we better sing that last verse.
And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be signed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Quick question. Can I put you all on the special music singing schedule? Would that be all right? And we'll just all get up there and sing a special. That was beautiful, beautiful. Part of it is, I know, because it comes from the heart. Thank God it is well with our souls this morning. Well, this morning, let me run back here as I'm talking. I need to grab this list. Many of you have noticed that Brother Mark is not here this morning. There's sickness in the family, as there is in many families today. And so we need to pray for them. That's why I'll be doing this and just tell them that I did a good job whether I do or not. All right? We appreciate Brother Mark. And let's pray for his family. Also, if you would, let's keep the Joyce Alcorn and family in prayer. For those of you that are wondering, Steve Alcorn passed away just a few days ago, and they had already had so many things prearranged in Florida before he came here. Part of the reason why they had moved to Jonesboro was because of the altitude, and with all the sickness and things that he had going on, it was so much better to live in this climate. So that's why he was here originally. And so everything was prearranged there. They're there the next few days. They'll be having a funeral visitation and all that. So let's pray for Joyce and her family. Let's keep in mind the Johnny Saylor family this morning as well, and for Miss Jan, and her son now is assumed the responsibility to care for her, and so let's pray for him as he does that. Also, Miss Betty Jenkins is in Johnson City Medical with some health issues. Stopped by to see her the other day, and they had to put her back on the CPAP machine because she was having trouble breathing, and so I didn't get to speak to her, but spoke with one of her sons. I think the youngest is who I spoke to. Pray for her. James Presley, he's a mess. He's so fun to go visit. And I had the opportunity of being there when they brought his food by, and that was an experience. He's very particular about what he likes to eat. And eventually they took the food away. And he barely got left with some grapes on his tray. And he was holding out. Anybody goes to see him, he was holding out for some Frenchy fries from Pals. Mind you, he's in there for heart issues, right? But pray for Brother James Presley. I know we laugh, but most of you that know him know why we're chuckling this morning. And he's just a mess. He's a handful, but they're taking care of him. He'll have, they're going to be putting a wire in for AFib that he has. And then in the near future, they're looking at a valve replacement. So keep him in mind. Diana Gallion this morning, Brother Larry, you probably noticed that Brother Larry wasn't standing at the door this morning. He had to take Miss Diana to urgent care. She did something with her back, and so she's bad off. And of course, we're praying for her already with the procedure that she has coming up for cancer. So let's keep them in mind, if you would. We're praying for Mildred Hall. This is Nancy Hall's mom. She has pneumonia. Angie Dorian, I found out just a few moments ago. Brian let me know that Angie's in the hospital. She had some ongoing issues, and then that's complicated things. And so keep her in prayer, if you would. Roger White, we're praying for him with cancer. And I think Larry Stover put this on here for a request. Brother Larry, can you tell us any more about Roger White? Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All righty. And then there's a host of others that are not here this morning because of sickness. It's just that time of year, and things happen. It was good to speak to and see Renetta's back with us. Come to find out, she didn't just have nerve damage, which caused the fall. She actually had a stroke. And so she found that out here recently. And so pray as they've changed therapy and different treatments for her this morning. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and go to prayer, and then we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us today. Lord, those that we have mentioned on this list this morning, you heard our prayer. You heard their names mentioned. And Lord, we already know that you know about them already. But Lord, we lift those names up this morning, and we pray that you would be with each and every one in a special way, that you would heal those that are sick. Lord, that you would heal those that are brokenhearted this morning. And that you would, Lord, just be with them and comfort them. Lord, we pray for those that might be in this room this morning that this week they're going through something. And it's not something that they can necessarily share with others. But Lord, you know their heart and you know what they're going through. And I just pray that you would touch them and touch their lives. Lord, I pray that you would give discernment where it's required, and wisdom to make decisions, and may the proper decisions be made. Lord, I pray this morning as we go into your word here in just a few moments, that everything that everybody is connected to and everything that's going on, Lord, that we would just set that aside for just a moment. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to focus on your word and what it means to each and every one of our lives. And I pray that our lives might be changed by your word through your spirit this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Also, I'd like to say thank you to each and every one who's here. This is your first time that you're visiting. I talked to a couple folks this morning. The Webbers, I believe, is... where are the Webbers at? Where are they sitting this morning? Oh, I didn't mean to bring you out. I'm sorry. Goodness gracious. Hey, you got some of those prized Baptist seats, the back seats. That is a good thing. You did well this morning. And then Ron is here visiting. And so just let them know that they're welcome. The Webbers are moving here from New Jersey. And so we made sure that we turned the temperature down a little bit for them to make them comfortable this morning. That being said, you all know me now a little bit, I would say, okay? And so this morning, I'm going to ask Well, I'm not even going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask for patience in dealing with me this morning. I would like to do something, and I want you to trust me, if you would, in this. Okay, I need a couple volunteers this morning to help me out. Do I have a couple gentlemen that would step forward and help me out this morning? Nobody wants to do anything now. Goodness. Ron, this is his first Sunday here. Let me do this. Sorry, I didn't mean to shock you. All right, so Ron has a stack of blue cards. Brother Marty has a stack of pink cards. And I did give them to Brother Marty because I knew a real man can handle the pink cards, right? I don't know Ron yet, so I can't say that. And that would be embarrassing for him. So if you would, let's just go and hand out one card to every person here. And to a lady, the pink cards to the lady, and the blue cards to the men, all right, respectively, okay? So, Ron, you're going to hit up all the guys. And if you would, do me a favor. What are we doing? I need your help, okay? Many have noticed that this class is larger than most classes that we've been in. And there is no possible way that I would even begin to think that I can keep track of everybody and notice who all's here, who's not here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, and you're going to do this with me. Amen. You're going to do this with me. Hallelujah. And I want to just start what we call the buddy system, okay? And what we're going to do, if you would, please fill out your name. And then there is a spot for one prayer request. You can put more if you'd like, okay? One prayer request. Carmen is saying, and this is true, if you feel comfortable with this, let's put a phone number on there, okay? Put your phone number on there. What are we going to do? We're going to put them in these little buckets here in just a second. And then we're going to shake them up. Then we're going to go back through and everybody gets to pick one. All the ladies get to pick one. That's a lady, and all the guys get to pick one that's a guy. And I would like for a couple months that you just pray for that person. Is that okay if we do that? And then if you come on Sunday and you notice that your person is not here, then give them a ring or a text and just say, hey, I missed you. Hope everything's okay. Just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And if you've added a prayer request, then you can let them know, hey, I've been praying for this specific request. Brother Marty, does anybody else, any other ladies need a card? Any ladies need a card? And by the way, you're not forced to do this. If you prefer not to, that's fine. Nobody's going to look at you. I just won't talk to you from now on. But other than that, no, I'm just teasing. Okay, does anybody else need a men's card? Okay. All right, so Brother Marty, you have a bucket. Brother Ron, you have a bucket. And then we're going to, man, we put Brother Ron to work already. This is his first day here. He may never come back. Say, man, they worked me this hard. Yes, as you all are ready, Brother Marty will pass by with the bucket and pick up the ladies' cards. Brother Ron's going to go by with the bucket and pick up men's cards, okay? And we're going to put that in there. Does anybody need a sheet this morning? Brian's got some sheets back there. Okay. If you'll raise your hand, Brian, if you see those hands, we'll take care of that at this time. Thank you, Brian, for doing that. We're going to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to get started. Does anybody need a pen? You could raise your hand as well. All righty. Thank you all for participating with me in that. Now, I'm not trying to get rid of my responsibility as a Sunday school teacher, but I am finding that as we've grown, I'm not able to keep up with everybody. And I don't want anyone to be missed. We don't want somebody slipping through the cracks. And because you are important and you do mean a lot to us. And so we want to make sure that that happens, okay? If you would, take your Bible to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If anybody needs a sheet, what we have on there, this would be the same sheet that you received last week, in that we didn't get very far into our study, which is okay. That's what happens. Here in at the end of the class, we'll go ahead and we'll hand out those cards and make sure that everybody has a buddy. Brother Marty, Ron, thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate that. Romans chapter 1. All right. In the book of Romans, we are learning that Romans is the most complete and systematic presentation of God's plan of salvation for sinners. Also, the sanctification for saints, and the sovereignty over Israel that you have in all of Scripture. Many have called Romans one of the richest works that you find, with a key word we saw was the word righteousness. And we spoke of last week of how that the righteousness that it talks of is not our righteousness, because our righteousness is never enough. It does not matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how mature you are scripturally. Your righteousness, my righteousness, will never be enough. Thank you. Will never be enough to meet God's threshold of perfection. It will never be enough. In fact, you'll remember with me the verse in Scripture that says that our righteousness, our good things that we do, in the eyes of God, it's not that He doesn't want us to do good things. It's not that He doesn't want us to do better than we did when we were lost. It's just that anything that we have that we would consider good is still imperfect. And the Bible says it is, because He is so perfect, it is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Now, initially that statement makes you feel inadequate. It makes you feel like you will never be able to do what God would have you do. However, we're going to find in this study in the book of Romans that when we lean on, when we depend on, when we live in, when we live through the righteousness of God, then we can accomplish what God needs to fulfill in our lives. We can do what God would have us do. We cannot sin as God would have us not sin. We do that in His strength. We do that because of His righteousness, not because of ours. So many times I think we get caught up in trying to achieve our own righteousness. And let's be honest, if we were to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, some of us are doing pretty good. We're all right until you see the reality. The Bible says it is not wise to compare yourself among yourself. The plumb line, the standard is not us, is not somebody else in this room. The standard is God's Word. The standard is Christ. That is our standard. And so we must keep that in mind as we are studying this. You'll see if you received a sheet on that very first sheet, and I plan on including this on every sheet that we turn in. The theme of the book of Romans is the righteousness of God without the law, by faith in Christ. Once again, the righteousness of God without the law, by faith in Christ. We cannot depend on anything but the righteousness of God in order to live our Christian life. And we do that by faith. Each and every individual we know that has received Christ as their personal Savior, there was a moment in your life that you put your faith and trust in Christ. You said what, or you believed in your heart what Romans 10 and 9 says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, what does that mean? That means you believed and you confessed with your mouth at that moment that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's God. Many did not, they didn't admit that. And to this day, there's many that believe. I was told just a few days ago about someone, a guy that I'm discipling, was witnessing to somebody, and they believed that Christ was a good individual and that his life started at birth. Literally, his existence started at birth. Well, that's not enough. Either he's God or he's not. Okay? And we must define that. We must believe what Christ says in Scripture. He was from the very beginning. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us," plural, "make man in our own image." If he were singular, he would have said, "I'm going to," or "let me make man." He did not. He said, "Let us." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we proceeded to see examples in Scripture where actually Jesus Christ shows up in the Old Testament. We call those theophanies or Christophanies, where actually Jesus Christ, in many times in the Old Testament, it shows up, says, "and the angel of the Lord." And then as you go down in the conversation, Christ says, did not I say unto thee? You know, and it changes, and it shows us where that was actually Christ that presented himself in the Old Testament. So this is a beautiful thing, the righteousness of God without the law, by faith. You say, "Brother Dan, so you believe that we take the law, we crumple it up, we throw it away, and we don't ever pay attention to anything that the law said?" No, that's not what I said. I cannot depend on the law, though, to do what I need to do in my life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, do you remember they came to Christ and they were trying to trip him up and they were saying, "We've done all these things and everything." And he says repeatedly in Matthew 5 and 6, he says, "You say," and then he lists what the law says. And then Christ says, "But I say unto thee." And then he lays down what actually it is. One example. You say, and they were talking about divorce, and God says, "But what I say, if a guy looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart." Who can live up to that standard? About anger, you say, and he says, "But I say, if you think a bad thought against somebody in your mind, in anger, you think a bad thought, you've already killed him." That's God's standard. Who can live up to that? Which is why we have to depend and lean on the righteousness of God. So, we get into Romans chapter 1. We find that chapters 1 through 5, the general theme of 1 through 5 is salvation through the righteousness of God. And you'll see that in your notes. These chapters, they contain that presentation of the doctrine of salvation. Chapter 1 through chapters 3 and verse 20, you see the subject of condemnation. being mentioned. It's very important to understand that as we're reading and studying through the book of Romans, or else we'll not understand and read it in its context. So you're speaking about condemnation. And then chapter 3 through chapter 5 in verse 21, you'll see the term justification show up. And we'll get into that. We talked about last week how that we talked about the gospel of God, how it's prefaced, where Paul says that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, which is an authorized messenger, separated unto the gospel of God. And then we talked about Christ and the gospel in verse 2 through 6, where the gospel is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, it said in verse 2. And then we also talked about the gospel being the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant in verse 3, in that the gospel concerns the Son of God. It says in verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel concerns the Lord of glory. It says in verse 3, that second part, our Lord. And then the gospel concerns the seed of David. We see in that third part of verse 3 where it says, made of the seed of David. And then the gospel concerns the Son of Man, where it says in that last part of verse 3, according to the flesh. According to the flesh. So the gospel message concerns a person, not a philosophy. It is about a person. Because most religious teachers, they proclaimed their teachings. But Jesus is unique in that, among major religions, in that He proclaimed Himself. And He declared Himself to be God. That's why they crucified Him. That's why, right out of the chute, He made them mad as a hornet's nest. I mean, He upset them because He said, I am God. The gospel was made possible when God became flesh through the miracle of the virgin birth and the incarnation of Christ, where the Son of God becomes the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become sons of God. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of what takes place in the gospel. The gospel then also is fulfilled by the resurrection of Christ from the dead by the power of God's Holy Spirit, verse 4. The gospel also in verse 5 and 6 is fulfilled by faith among all nations, it says in chapter 5 or chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And then that leads us to this morning, Romans chapter 1 there and verse 7, where we find Paul's description of the Roman believers. Let's get to verse 7. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. What a beautiful, beautiful term. Carmen and I have a dear friend that you have had the privilege of hearing preach, and his name is Brother Mark Thrift. I love the way he starts out every time he speaks, and he does this anywhere he's at. We first heard him in Mississippi. He says, dearly beloved, as he starts. And you know what? As I'm sitting there in the pew or in the chair, and I hear that, and someone that's delivering the Word of God says, beloved, And he starts out that way. You can't help but like a guy that's getting ready to rip your lips off. You know, it's just wonderful. And I say that in jest. I believe that he does a great job in delivering the Word of God to us. But he starts out, dearly beloved, and he says that, and it just shows what his heart is towards those that he is sharing the gospel with. Paul's description of the Roman believers, they are beloved of God, called to be saints. called to be saints. You know, folks, as a general rule, will do what is expected of them. We say that of children. If you walk in there and say, oh, great, I got to deal with this whole group of little snotty-nosed brats and everything like that, they're going to act just like that. Or you can treat them how you want them to act. Well, that's not what we do here. Oh. And most people, most kids, will act as they are expected to act. That's why at home, they act like the demoniac of Gadara. And at school, they don't get by with that. They're not allowed to. It is expected that they behave in a certain manner. And so, that's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day. But most people will act. And he says, beloved of God, called to be saints. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So his greeting to the Roman believers, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues in verse 8, and he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now remember, we talked about how that Paul had not yet been able to go visit this group. This is a group that started as a church, and because he was hindered in going to visit them, he sends this letter. And he says, first, I want to thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, he says, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So something that these believers were doing in this church in Rome had reached the entire world. That we know, historians say that that the first century noted the presence of Christians in Rome. That was a very key place in the world. A lot of commerce was done in that part of the world, and then it would go out to the rest of the world. And with that commerce, with those products, with those different things that they traded, was also the news of the Christians in Rome. My, may it be that as a believer, that our testimony would be the one proclaiming Christ as it gets out and as things are spoken of, rather than the opposite. Verse 9, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Notice, Paul's prayers were offered, he says, without ceasing. And then he uses the term always. Prayer is so important in the life of a believer. And he brings that out here. And then in verse 10, he says, making request, if by any means now, at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He's sharing his desire for the Roman believers. Though he had been often hindered in doing so, Paul longed to come to Rome to visit and teach the church here so that he might, and then he continues to say what his wishes are, what he would like to do if he were there. He continues in verse 10. He said, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And then he says, verse 11, for I long to see you. Why? That I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. Doesn't matter what it is. I'd just like to share something with you. The spiritual gifts we just found out, each and every believer is given at least one spiritual gift at salvation, and that is for the strengthening of the body. It's for the benefit of the body of Christ. It's not for you, it's for others. And Paul recognized that, and he's sharing that with them. He's saying, I'd like to impart unto them some spiritual gift. He continues to say, to the end, ye may be established. He wanted to help establish them in the faith. And then he says in verse 12, that is, that I might, that I may be comforted together with you. He uses that term. He's not just saying, I'm going to comfort you. He's saying that we might be comforted by being together. And he's bringing in something that is key. I am comforted. I told the gentleman last night, I met with the men of the Spanish ministry last night, and we just went out and had a bite to eat and got to talk and had some really great conversation. But in that, I told him, I said, I need you guys. And I do. I need to be strengthened by them as much as they would need to be strengthened by me. It's not one-sided. Everybody in this room has a purpose. And we need you as a church, as a body of Christ. We need what you have to bring to the table. You say, well, Brother Dan, I don't have anything to bring to the table. I beg to differ. The Bible says that you do. God said you do. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then you have everything to bring to the table. You have as much to bring to the table as any other person in this room. Just because I've been given the position to stand before you on a weekly basis and share the Word of God does not make me or put me or place me in a special category. I have no more to give than you have to give. I need what you offer through Christ as well as you need what I might have to offer through Christ. As we walk along and we're walking in the Spirit, then what you have and what comes from you is something that I need in order to strengthen my faith and to strengthen my walk in Christ. We do need each other. So he says to be comforted by their, and he says, mutual faith. And then he, just in case they wondered what he was referring to, he says, both of you and me. That means all of us. All of us. Okay? And then verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Of course, if we were to use that term today, I don't want you to be ignorant. It does come across a little heavy. But basically, I would not want you to be without understanding about something is what he's saying. He's not calling them stupid. He's just saying they don't know about it. I wouldn't want you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, he says. But I was let hitherto, meaning he wasn't allowed to come. Did you know that sometimes God hinders us from doing good things as much as he would hinder us from doing bad things? Because not all good things are the best things. Paul was hindered on many occasions not to go to a certain place that he had a desire to go to because he wanted to witness. He wanted to share the gospel. And it wasn't the moment, and the Holy Spirit of God would not let him. Or you see the term in Scripture, he hindered him to go. Sometimes it's not the right thing to do, which is why it is so ever important to be locked in to what the Holy Spirit of God is leading us to do or to not do. It applies in making decisions on a daily basis. It applies to witnessing to someone. We were sitting there last night in a restaurant, and I mean, this stuff just happens. You say, well, Brother Dan, it just happens to you. I don't believe it does. I believe it's anyone. But we're sitting there, and I arrived a little early because I wanted to get a couple of tables together. I asked the gal that was helping, she was buzzing around tending to tables, and there where we went, you have to order first, then go sit down. They'll bring your food to you. So I sat down and asked if it was okay if I pulled the table. Oh, yeah, it's okay. And man, she was zipping around, and I'm serious. It was 6 o'clock in the evening. I don't have that kind of energy at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's just not happening. I may earlier in the day, but not then. And She's just zipping around. And I said, man, I really appreciate that. I said, my soul, where'd you get all this energy? And she goes, oh, that's just who I am. And then she just blurted out something personal that's happening in her life that God is helping her with. And I'm like, well, that is a great thing. I'm proud of you. I don't know this woman. I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing and that you're getting better. Across the counter is a gal that's a supervisor. She lives behind Dallas's house, which is right here by the church. Turns out, the gal that helped us take our order was related to about five of the guys that were sitting there with me. And then in walks Nancy Sparks with her grandkids. I mean, we might as well have had church there. I say all that to say this. People are watching. Things are happening. And God, and you say, well, Brother Dan, did you that you should have witnessed to her right then? No, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. The Holy Spirit told me to be kind to her. That's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And the Holy Spirit also told me, you better make sure she's got a good tip. That's what he said. And then I went to go pay, and because for some reason, their system don't allow you to add a tip to what you're ordering. And guess what? Dan don't carry no cash with him. So, you know, we're talking. I mean, all this is spinning through my head. And so finally I said, hey, guys, I need you to help me with something. I bought their meal, right? So I need you to help me with something. We got to leave this lady something, and I need help with that. You would not believe what they did. They literally gave this gal like $30 or $40. And, of course, my heart just sitting there getting all swelled and big, you know, because I'm so proud of these guys, you know. And it's just a blessing. But I say all this not to draw attention to anybody, just to let you know that an everyday common thing happens. And you have to stay locked into the Holy Spirit along the way. Sometimes you open your mouth, sometimes you hush, and you be nice. And that's it. And we're being obedient to the Spirit. Paul illustrates that here when he says in verse 13, and I'll finish with this. He says that the Holy Spirit would not allow him to go, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. That's interesting to me to read that. And then he follows it up with verse 14 when he says, because I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. As we go through our week this week, let us think about what Paul is saying in just these first few verses. He's saying, listen, beloved. His attitude just spills out. Beloved, listen, we're in this thing together. I can't come to you, but man, I really could use the time to be around you, to be strengthened by you, because we need that from each other. And he says, boy, my heart is to do this, but the Holy Spirit won't let me. But that's okay, because God knows what he's doing. May that be our heart this week as we go about dealing with everybody that we deal with, wherever it is that God has placed us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time together. We love you, and thank you for what Paul illustrates to us by way of the Holy Spirit. Please help us to do the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Will you all do me a huge favor? On the way out, there's two buckets.